This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock. I want to remind everybody, starting on Friday, from what I understand, doors open at 11 a.m.
Oh?
At the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. You don't have to go to Nashville. Nashville is coming here. On Friday, it's L. King. The headliner on Friday, Keith Urban.
Oh.
Sunday, Shaboozy. Shaboozy is going to be here at the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. And then Luke Bryan is going to be the headliner on Sunday. Plus, there's beer. It would be insane to call it a beer and country music festival and not have beer. So I think it's not going to be like, oh, hey, there's a little bit of beer over there. My guess is there's going to be a lot of beer.
It's not like
a lot of beer.
Like Coors Light, like banquet beer. I feel like there's going to be.
There might be. In that setting, all beer is good beer for me.
All right.
All beer is good beer. Here's how you can win a 3-day pass. This is fun. I'm really excited for this.
Okay.
You can enter as many times as you want, by the way. I wasn't told yes or no on that, so I'm just doing it.
Just say it.
And we'll deal with the consequences later.
That's right.
You download the free Odyssey app on your phone. That's step one. Super easy. You're going to go favorite ESPN 1320. Just search ESPN 1320. We'll pop up. You favorite that. Then when you open the app, our station starts playing. It's great. Next to the little listen live button, there's a microphone icon. And if you have the app, and you might need to update it if you don't see this, but you'll see a microphone icon. If you tap that icon, you'll be able to leave us a message.
Wow.
Telling us that you want to go to the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. You don't even have to say anything elaborate. We're not going to be using these on air.
Nope.
You don't have to be like, hey, I want to go. You just be like, man, I like beer, or I like country music, or I like both of those things. I would like to go to this. Give us your name, your phone number, your email address, and message number 27 will receive a 3-day pass to the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. If you need to review the instructions, go to ESPN1320.com. Good luck.
We're giving away a pair of passes.
3-day pass.
On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yes.
All right. I'm in.
And tomorrow. We're giving away, no, I'm sorry, and Friday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're giving away some on Friday?
Yeah, but first thing Friday, because the thing starts on Friday.
Yeah.
So off the rip Friday, we're going to remind people, hey, go enter. Because message number 27.
All right.
It's going to get a 3-day pass to the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. I'll be out there one of the days.
Are you?
Yes. Helping out promotions.
Have you figured out what day you want to go out there?
It's going to depend on what promotions needs from me.
Okay.
I would like to go
like Keith Urban Day, just in case Nicole Kidman shows up. Just
sure,
saying.
Sure.
So then it's totally. Like, hey, it's Nicole Kidman.
What would you say to Nicole Kidman if you saw Nicole Kidman?
Oh,
You're hanging out, you're backstage, you're vibing, and Nicole Kidman's standing there.
I don't know. We'd probably talk about being redheads. I don't know. I don't have. But
hey, you got red hair. I have red hair. What if it's a
I can talk to anybody, Kyle. I don't know what you're talking about.
I just need to know. Like, I've been in a couple of situations where I've seen like celebrities or athletes out, and I don't approach them because it's like, I don't know what to say. I don't have an opening line here.
Okay.
I don't have a good... Hey, when I first moved to Arizona, Sergio Romo was at Sam's Club when I was going into Sam's Club.
Okay.
I have nothing to say to Sergio Romo. Nice guy from everything I know.
Yeah.
Great guy. From everything I've ever heard about him, everybody I know who knows him loves him. But when am I going to walk up? Hey, I don't like the team you play for. Every time you pitch, I hope a slider gets launched into orbit. I just had nothing. So you just walk by, give him a little nod, and it was it. Jennifer Lawrence, for example. Jennifer Lawrence. If I ever happen to run into Jennifer Lawrence, her and I born the exact same day. 8/15/90.
See?
I'm like, hey, guess what? We're birthday twins. Bang, bang.
There
that's
it is.
That's the way I'm going to not be like, oh my God, huge fan.
Yeah, I don't think I would like...
Even though I'm not a huge Jennifer Lawrence fan, she's fine.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen... Because to me, a huge fan is like, I'm going to see everything they're in.
Okay.
I've not even seen like Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So...
That's a...
I watched the heck out of the Hunger Games though.
It's a tough watch, but it's... Yeah.
Sure.
It's, you know, mental illness and... Yeah. Loss.
So Nicole Kidman, your opening line would be like, hey, redhead! Same.
It's something like that.
Love that.
Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I would say nothing, but I don't know.
You would say, I know you. You would say something.
Loved you in Far and Away.
There you go. That's great. Loved you in Far and Away. By the way, we have red hair. See you at the meeting. Kings Jazz tonight as the Kings continue their preseason. This sounds silly. And when I started writing it, I rephrased it. Because you don't need to bounce back in the preseason. There's no, you could get beat 200 to nothing and it has no impact on what you're doing in the regular season. But at the same time, I would like to see a different level of, not urgency, but can you just play without the general malaise that they played with on Sunday?
Yeah, I think that there does come a point where you have to show that you're good, that that you like. It can't just be, hey, look, do you see us in the first half? Like, we're solid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you led by two. You gave up 15 threes. Like, that's, we need to see more. We need to see more of a complete performance. I'd also say, like, Mike Brown, and this is something we talked about, me and Sean talked about on the podcast on Saturday. We forgot, like, and I forgot last year too, Mike Brown really does play his players in preseason. So I expect like 30 plus minutes from starters tonight. Like, if this game is close at all, he wants to finish, have his players finish the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So like, this is go time. I want to see how they start to move together as a team, whether they can sustain something,
mm-hmm.
whether they can play for, you know, of the 35 minutes or whatever,
sure.
that they're going to be on the court, like 30 plus, that the starters and that first unit that plays, the second unit that plays with the starters, like they look functional and they look smooth and they look like they can rotate on defense and have an identity. So yeah, I mean, I don't think that like it's panic if they lose, but if they play really poorly again, you're looking around like, what exactly is going on here?
The vibe,
and how do you fix it?
The vibe would be weird.
Uh-huh.
If there's almost nothing that can happen in these games that is going to take me off what I think they're going to be in the regular season.
Outside of injury.
Right. Yeah, nothing non-injury related. But if they come out again against Utah and just look kind of sluggish and uninterested, I'm going to have some questions.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair, but I don't... But again, I'm not expecting that. I think the Portland thing was just it's the third preseason game. We just kind of want to get to the end here. You just didn't play well, and now you regroup and you go play a little better here against Utah, and you're fine. But
yeah, I mean, I think this would just calm everybody down. Like, okay, we know who you are, and then you don't worry about who's playing how many minutes in game four, because that's always like weird anyways, right? Game five of preseason. I think game five is where you do start running some guys out there, some younger guys out there, and you give your starters again like a good start, and then like hand it off and see what you got.
And do you expect him to play an entire game tonight and treat this like a dress rehearsal?
Yeah, I expect the starters to play like substantial minutes. I'm not saying like 35 minutes for the starters. Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, last game they all played what we looked up, 26, 27.
I think that 33 starters played 30 and two played 28.
Oh, so he is ramping up. So yeah, maybe they do play 32 minutes, maybe 32, 33 minutes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that the intent was to have them close out the game. That would have put them way higher as far as minutes played.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is kind of how Mike likes to build up his team, and that's fine for me.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line if you'd like to chime in. What are you looking for from the Sacramento Kings tonight? Don, you're on the Insiders with James and Kyle. What's up?
Hey, how you fellas doing? Have either of you started or finished Starting Five on Netflix yet?
No, not yet. I have not.
Okay.
Honestly,
okay. I'm not.
Have you watched it?
I just finished it this morning. I loved it. It was good to see Sabonis just be himself and not nervous.
Okay.
I was terrified he was going to be like, you know, maybe not to be rude, but the most boring out of the cast of five. But mm-hmm. I think Tatum kind of ran away with that, in my opinion.
That tracks.
Not to throw shade. And I would love to see an interview with Mrs. Sabonis on the Stomp Heard Round the World, because she was holding back a lot when they asked her about it. That's all I got.
Awesome. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's it. So, I've just been kind of busy. Football stuff keeps me pretty occupied during the week. I don't get to watch a ton of TV, but I read Katie Baker in The Ringer. I read her kind of takeaways from it. And that's what she said. She said Sabonis' wife was the big winner.
That's spectacular. I've watched parts of it, but I haven't sat down and watched an episode from start to finish. I'm really excited for Sabonis and how, like, it does sound like he was able to, like, win the day a little bit with that. And, like, look, this is a player who deserves way more national attention than he gets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his numbers are some of the best numbers for a center we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, if he lived in an era where there wasn't Nikola Jokic, like, he would be considered, like, the best center in the game. Just look at what he's doing. Leading the league in rebounding, over 8 assists a game, almost 20 points per game. I mean, like, the fact that he didn't make an all-star team is just such a shame. And I'm hoping that him, like, opening the doors to his life,
mm-hmm.
like, gives people a different perspective on him and maybe allows him to get the credit that he deserves nationally.
Sure. We have a trade in the NFL.
We do.
Shout out to, did that go? Are you hearing that?
No.
Where are my buttons?
Your buttons are broke?
What in the world?
Oh no.
This is frustrating. That's okay. We have a trade in the NFL. The Cleveland Browns are dealing wide receiver Amari Cooper to the Buffalo Bills.
Mm.
In exchange, this is weird. It's a third round pick swap, or a pick swap and a third rounder?
Oh. Sending a third round and a pick swap.
I can't imagine that the Bills are getting Amari Cooper and a third for a third.
Hmm.
There's just no way that's the case.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait till this thing settles.
Yeah, it's got to be like a pick swap and a third. So we're just talking about Josh Allen and the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be helpful. That's going to be...
Yeah.
He's a good player.
I think Josh Allen has been waiting for them to do something, because mm-hmm. it's just really tough when you're a player like him, like, if you don't have a go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
It wasn't just one guy that they mm-hmm. let go, you know, Davis and
Stephon Diggs.
And Stephon Diggs gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just tough if you're a quarterback. I mean, again, we're watching it with Mahomes. He was able to create Rashee Rice last mm-hmm. year on the fly, very specific style of wide receiver. But then when he's hurt this year, now he's Mahomes is just lost again, and you're having to rely on guys like Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yep.
And, you know, you're having to rely on guys that aren't always reliable. And so I feel like Josh Allen's waiting for something like this. And as soon as the Devontae Adams trade happened, it's kind of like, okay, who else is going? Like, we're going to look around the league. Like, it's time for bad teams to start purging. And, and this is one of the big ones.
Yeah, and I think that Amari Cooper can be a close enough facsimile of Stephon Diggs that you could really see that Bills offense. It's just missing. You need to have several playmakers, right? You've talked about that a lot with the 49ers. It can't be over-reliance on one guy or two guys. You got to make sure you're spreading the football around. And that's fine the way they've been doing it, but you also just need a guy who you know is going to get open.
Oh, yeah.
Who you know, all right, third and short, I can throw it to this guy. Mm-hmm. And Amari Cooper is a little past his prime, but still a really good player. He wasn't going to do the Browns any good. This is a nice move for the Bills.
No, I totally agree. Right. This is a move they had to make.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So if anything else breaks in the NFL, we will have that for you. I'm really frustrated that my buttons are broken here.
Oh, we had issues yesterday with that board.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not going to reset it, obviously, during the show. But,
nope.
Actually, I might hit the break. Anyways, doesn't matter. Kings Jazz. As we bring this back to Sacramento here, can we read into, because if it's going to be ostensibly a dress rehearsal with the starters playing 35 minutes, can we read into the rotations then, do you think? If it's Isaiah Crawford getting burned with the second unit again, or Isaac Jones getting a little run with the starters, is that something we can read into? Is this still just a function of preseason?
No, I'm going to say yes and no.
Perfect.
Yes, this is like, we'll see like a break in case of emergency situation for the team. But no, because Kevin Huerter is back at practice. Kevin Huerter has been cleared for all contact. He's already gone through 1v1. Mm-hmm. I think yesterday he went through 2v2 or 3v3. He's already moving towards being ready. If not, there's a possibility he plays on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a possibility that he doesn't play until, you know, that he's not fully part of practice until Friday or Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But they have another week. So, like, Kevin Huerter's going to be part of the rotation when the season opens. And, like, the same thing with Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles is going to be cleared here. Like, we don't know where he's at. He's being reevaluated, what they say, 3 weeks, but it was from, like, November 27th or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we're right nearing the 3 week mark. I think Friday is 3 weeks, and it's possible that Trey Lyles is back. So, for right now, is there a possibility that Isaac Jones or, Isaiah Crawford play in the opener? Sure. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know what these other guys are going to look like and if they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
But once everyone's ready, I think we can kind of see the 9-man rotation. Right now, with the 9.5 man rotation, with you know, again, Trey, Kevin, and Malik being the primary, you know, three guys that you're going to rely on off the bench, at least for right now, until they decide what's happening with that shooting guard spot. And then it's going to be Jordan McLaughlin, who I thought looked really good on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Alex Len, who, to be honest with you, Alex Len has looked really good in preseason too.
Yeah.
Like, you can't read all that much into it, but I mean, Alex Len basically put up double-doubles in the first two games and just solidified his spot as like the backup center with no question. There's not really any competition, but yeah, I do think that we're going to see, that's 10 guys right there. We just talked about like basically 10 guys with the starters. And so Mike's not going to go a lot deeper than that, which is maybe part of the reason why they sent Jalen McDaniels packing, because they're like, look, not only do we see our 10 guys, but then we kind of want to see what these other two guys have that are fighting for a position, or maybe even throw Mason Jones in there, this group of three players, and see if they can make a difference as well, or at least mask the 8 minutes a game or 12 minutes a game you might have needed for Jalen McDaniels for $5 million a year.
One of the guys that could be coming back is Kevin Huerter, who spoke with reporters yesterday at practice. First of all, confirmed the headband's gone.
Headband is over.
This is the best thing that's ever happened to him.
Yeah.
I've never been more confident that a player is going to have a big year than I am in Kevin Huerter this year. Losing the headband is going to be great.
I think it's interesting.
So great for him.
His answer for why he's getting rid of the headband is because he said, I had like a traumatic experience on the court while wearing the headband, and I just kind of want to like go away from everything that happened that day and start fresh. And yeah, like he was rattled. You could, like, watching the clip, I didn't
That's
make
kind of crazy.
Yeah, I didn't make it to practice yesterday because practice was scheduled for 12:15, and it started. They led guys in. I couldn't make it after the show down there. But like watching the video from Sean over at Fox 40, like good stuff there by Kevin. I mean, I think he's been really a lot more open and honest and transparent, which is good. Like when you have a player who's sort of struggled with the mental aspect of the game, I think being open and transparent about who you are and what's happening and you know, how, you know, even something as small as a headband and wanting to wash away everything from the one of the worst nights of your life as a basketball player. But that's a good thing. It's like, I like the honesty.
Yeah, me too. Do we have an ETA yet on when he's coming back? Has there been any kind of update on that?
I mean, Mike Brown seemed to have no idea that Kevin was fully cleared.
Perfect.
He did, like, so it sounds like Kevin got cleared on Friday, was already on the court Friday night doing some, doing, you know, his standard warm up. On Saturday, he was able to go through at least with coaching staff or a group of young players, at least like 1v1. He did actually have contact, which was, which he had not.
That's new.
He had not had any contact at all for 7 months, he said.
Wow.
So he said that was really interesting to like take a hit. He said that the right shoulder, you know, feels normal. The left shoulder, he's like, it just doesn't feel the same as the right. So he's like, I'm going to have to learn how to deal with it. He's like, I had major surgery on it. So like, I've got to figure out like how it functions and with what I'm doing. But at the same time, you know, he's 7 months in. So this is, again, just that's the difference with Devin Carter too. Track Kevin Herter's, you know, return to play, and it's going to be similar. It takes a long time. This is a major, major injury that you can't rush because you can do damage and re-tear and never have your shoulder be right again. And so, I think he's close.
I do wonder though if there has to be what's the word I'm looking for? Like a return to play timeline that gets extended because of that mental hurdle still.
Yeah, I mean,
he took contact for the first time yesterday, but does he drive it in the lane the same way? Is he as aggressive? Does he alter his shot on closeouts now? Does it, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's, if that's something that is really in the back of his head, which would totally make sense, is that going to add days to his timeline to return here of, okay, yeah, he's cleared, he's all good, but man, you know what? He's just not quite right yet.
You know, that's kind of one of the things he talked about early on was like going up for a rebound.
Yeah.
It's like, that's sort of the scare. You go up for a rebound, somebody hits you the wrong way and can it knock the shoulder out of the socket. Now, because he's had the surgery, that shouldn't be an issue. But I think that's where people need to understand. Like, Kevin Herter has been working out tirelessly for months. Mm-hmm. He has. Like, you can look at Kevin Herter and know that he's in phenomenal shape. There is no question that, you know, we heard, a month and a half ago that he was shooting with Domas. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2 months ago now, he was shooting. And, like, they said, oh, yeah, he looks really good. So, like, let's not act like he's not actually trying to get back on the court, that he's just sitting there like in a sling the whole time hoping that it just magically heals itself. But also on top of that, you have to understand that when we hear no contact, that means that he is not running out and defending. He has not defended anybody for months. Like, there's no contact. I mean, like running up and knowing how to close out on these things, going through a screen, like these are things he is going to have to get comfortable doing again. And, you know, maybe it happens very quickly. Maybe the instincts just kick in and he's going.
Sure.
But, you know, I think he'll probably get in like 3v3 was probably yesterday, and probably 5v5 is probably tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I don't think he'll be 100% cleared to go on Thursday. But you could see where he'll have a week after that game on Thursday to get used to the guys, to get back on the court, to play 5-on-5 and sort of build himself back up, build his wind, make sure that he's ready to play basketball.
Yeah. A lot of opener. Steps still.
Yeah. And there's possibility he plays in the opener. There's also possibility he doesn't play for a week or two you know, that he is building back up and like this is part of the process.
9 days until the opener. I knew it was, it didn't register that until you said next Thursday.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah, it's coming up.
It's the 24th. Today's the 15th. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy how fast this goes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to dive into one more thing, but we're going to go.
Okay.
I'm being a responsible radio host.
Okay.
You're welcome, everybody. I know you all care very much. All right. We'll have some NBA news and notes coming up. We'll talk about the top five teams in the NFL as well. And I have something that's stuck in my craw that I need to get off my chest regarding NFL draft takes. We'll do that as well. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, my buttons work. Well, at least one side does.
They're back?
Yeah, this side. Sort of. I'm not going to pull the curtain back that far. Nobody needs to know. My buttons work now. We're good. He's James. I'm Kyle. The handoff with one of D'Lo or KC coming up in about 10 minutes. I'm going to put a pin in the top five NFL teams until they're in here.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it then. Quick thing on the MLB postseason before we get into NBA news and notes. Mark Vientos lived my dream last night for the Mets. If you missed it, Francisco Lindor hits a homer in the first inning against the Dodgers to put the Mets up 1-0. He came up again in a 2-0 game in the second inning with runners on second and third and two outs. And the Dodgers elect to walk Francisco Lindor to load the bases for Mark Vientos. And then he proceeds to step to the plate and hit a grand slam. And as a petty person, as a person who thrives on petty, the home run, and in this case, grand slam, after a player was walked to get to you, because they said, we like our chances to get that guy out. It fuels me. Incredible moment for Mark Vientos and the Mets. They held on to beat the Dodgers 7-3 last night. That series is tied at 1 going back to Citi Field in New York. The Yankees, in game 1 of their series against the Guardians, won that one 5-2. Game 2 is tonight right here on ESPN 1320. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock. Again, that's game 2 of the ALCS between the Yankees and Guardians. What's your ideal World Series matchup? What's the matchup that has you, James Hamm, like that is the most interesting one to me?
I don't know. I mean, I hate saying Yankees Dodgers because it's just like the clash of the Titans and it's like all the money. But I'm kind of pulling for the opposite. I would like to see Mets.
Guardians Mets.
And Guardians.
So here's, I know I said the opposite the other day, but just watching throughout the postseason here, I think it's just kind of clear that the Yankees and Dodgers, just top to bottom, are the two best teams.
Yeah.
And that's annoying for sure. But just because they've both been around. Like, we hear about the Yankees and Dodgers every year, right? You'd love to see the Mets and the Guardians. And I'm with you. I'm going to be tapped in either way. But I think we could get an all-time series if we get Yankees-Dodgers. Just with the way this season has gone, Aaron Judge had his historically great year, and Shohei Ohtani had his. And it'd be, I know fans of smaller market teams or fans who, you know, Giants fans and Red Sox fans and whoever would really hate that matchup a lot. But from a just wanting to see the very, very best, I think that's the kind of ideal matchup. On the other hand, the Mets are a ton of fun.
Yeah, and they're the Guardians, a good story.
Guardians not came out of nowhere, but the Guardians are not a team in the American League that when you're talking about American League powerhouses over the last few years, the Guardians are not a team that comes up. I wouldn't hate the alternative, but I feel like, man, it just the thing I don't love is, as a person who like revels in watching the Yankees lose,
mm-hmm.
I just don't see it.
But I also don't want to see them lose to the Dodgers either. That's the problem. Like, I don't want to see either team win. I think the best World Series, like, for the sport is probably Yankees-Dodgers. I think the best World Series in my mind is two teams that you didn't expect to be there that, you know, they've got good payrolls and all that stuff, like, but that you didn't expect to have this kind of moment go and battle it out. Like, the sport versus, like, if it's Yankees-Dodgers, I'll probably watch, but I will have no rooting interest at all except for the fact that I want both of them to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not possible for both of them to lose. So somebody will have to win.
Who would you root for in Yankees-Dodgers?
I would root for nobody. I would root for everyone to lose every single game. And that's where, like, again, I've talked about this so many times. I think, again, Cleveland and the Mets, when you're looking at those two teams,
mm-hmm.
they have a bunch of random dudes, and those are usually the guys who perform and show up. So we want to, like, watch Yankees Dodgers and, like, the placard, all of this stuff we're going to see on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, every screen is going to be Aaron Judge versus Shohei Ohtani. And both of those guys could be totally lame and horrible in the entire World Series, and it's not. The drama isn't there between those two, and that's. I think that I would prefer the unexpected, mm-hmm. which would be Mets and Commanders.
Who would you root for in that scenario? Mets, Guardians.
Guardians. I'm gonna go Guardians because I love Stephen Vogt. So
there you go.
Yeah,
would love that for him. First year as a manager?
Yeah.
Let's go win a World Series? All right.
Yeah, let's do this.
I think I rock with that.
Yeah.
Some NBA news and notes here as we finish up the insiders and get ready to hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Kawhi Leonard's out for the rest of the preseason. Can you believe it?
I can't believe this is happening again. Oh, my gosh.
I feel bad for the guy. But every time that Kawhi Leonard injury news comes down, it's like, well, all right. And this is what, like, I already was out on the Clippers this year. I think they were the number 4 seed last year.
Yeah.
I was already out on the Kawhi James Harden pairing. And Norman Powell out there, like, yeah, it's Norman Powell time. All right, man. Kawhi played how many games last year? 68?
He played way more than we thought. Like, it might have even been in the 70s.
It was the most games he'd played in a long time.
It's probably the most he's played in a decade.
So he played in 68 games. Oh, it was the most he had played since 2016-17. His last year, second to last year with the Spurs.
Yeah.
So it was De'Aaron Fox's rookie year, right?
17-18 is De'Aaron Fox's rookie year.
The last time he played more games than he did last year was before De'Aaron Fox was in the NBA.
Yeah, and he's entering his 8th season.
Crazy.
I mean, that's wild.
That's the Clippers with, if you told me right now, Kawhi Leonard is going to be healthy all year. He's going to play 78 games.
Mm-hmm.
Then, okay, maybe you can talk me into the Clippers a little bit, because when Kawhi Leonard does play and he's on the court for an extended period of time, he was second team All-NBA last year.
Yeah.
He had 24 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, 1.6 steals, almost a block a game. He's an efficient player, 41.7% from threes, 52.5% from the field. Like, Kawhi is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not... You banking on 68-plus games again?
No.
I'm not.
No.
I'm definitely not.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, they lost Paul George, and Paul George is, like...
Also hyper-extended his knee yesterday.
Yeah. that's not good for Paul George. But we're talking about another guy who's like an all NBA level player, you know, a certified all-star and a guy who, you know, like you lose him, your team is not going to be as good. And for as much grief as I give Russell Westbrook, the fact that he's not there anymore, like, and you didn't really replace, I mean, if you're going to go out there and you're going to replace a guy like Paul George and you're going to bring in Derek Jones Jr., like, I don't know what to say because the rest of this team, I mean, they did some really, really odd things this offseason. They went out and got Kevin Porter Jr.
To, like, play him.
Yeah. They got him. They got Josh Primo.
Dog, what?
Not only that. I'm not over. Like, they got Kai Jones. So
which one's Kai Jones?
Kai Jones is the guy that the first round pick from Charlotte who, like, went crazy on the team and they waived him in the middle of last season and he sat there and didn't play. I don't know. He barely played at all. You know, they brought in Mo Bamba and, you know, so I just look at their team and I'm just not super impressed with what they're doing. Your team, guys like Amir Coffey and guys like Terrence Mann, like, again, I love Terrence Mann, but players like that, Nick Batum, they look a lot different when Paul George is on the court with them.
Yes.
Not like the ghost of James Harden and Kawhi Leonard for 60 games. So I don't know. They need like Ivica Zubac to be incredible. They need Norman Powell to be incredible. Or that team's in line to win. Like if Kawhi, let's say Kawhi plays 55 to like 62 games.
Sure.
I think that's a 41 win team.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he plays 70-something games, maybe I can see them winning 45, 46, but I don't think they're going to win 50 like they did last year, right?
No.
And 51 games last year.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and we talked about this. Like, there are going to be teams that lose games this season just because the West is so much stronger. The bottom of the West is coming up, and you're having a bunch of young teams that are getting better. You got Memphis should be better than they have been. You know, Houston will be better. San Antonio will win more than like 20, 21 games, whatever it was. So, like, those teams are going to get better and those wins are going to come from somewhere.
I know this probably doesn't matter, but it jumped out to me. The Kings played 5 preseason games, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 at home, 3 on the road.
Yeah.
Right. The Clippers are playing 5 preseason games all at home.
Oh, really? Because I thought that Thursday is the opener in the new arena.
Not according to this.
They've been playing, all of their home games have been...
Oh, I'm sorry. The Golden State, because the Golden State game was in Honolulu.
Okay.
And their Portland game was at a neutral location.
Yeah.
But according to this, there was no... Yeah, Front Wave Arena in Oceanside.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Intuit Dome opens on Thursday.
Huh.
Against the Kings.
Still, the point is, they didn't travel.
Yeah.
Like, Oceanside is not, I'm sorry, that's not traveling.
Mm-mm.
Honolulu's traveling, but they're not at any teams they're not the road team in any of their preseason games.
Wow.
Weird. Last thing. Klay Thompson last night made his debut for the Dallas Mavericks. I believe it was his debut. 0-for-9 from the field, 0-for-6 from 3-point range.
Huh.
Hate it for my guy. Really hate it for my guy.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens there.
That's a bad beat.
You know, like, you can like some of the moves that they made, but... you know, the fear of Klay Thompson is going to make teams play defense a different way.
No, sorry, he did play. He did play last Thursday and went 3-for-9 from the field and 3-for-5 from three.
Okay,
that's right.
Yeah, that's kind of what you're hoping for.
Yikes! Hey, yeah,
it's Damian Barling.
And you'll take the 3-for-5 from three for sure, but the 3-for-9 from the fifth, they had 0-for-9 and 0-for-6.
Yeah,
that's what I'm worried about, man. That's what I'm worried about with Klay. We'll see. I'm pulling for the guy, but man,
that's gonna be a tough look. I do know that, like, just you know, talking to Mike Brown and their and the Kings staff, like there is something to just the fear of Clay and mm-hmm. how you have to deal with him.
Yeah.
You can't leave him in the corner at all.
Like for sure.
You have to be a step closer to him than you have for to sure. be to almost any other shooter in the league playing off ball. And so that little bit of space that he's going to create just as a shooter, especially early in the season. Now, if he's shooting 31% from the field after 20 games, you're going to see teams start to leave him a little more open, mm-hmm. but not that much open.
He needs to adapt his game, and he just hasn't yet. He's still trying to pull up from 30 in transition. Like, dude, that shot's not in your bag anymore, man.
Yeah, you don't have the legs to do that. Yeah.
All right, Damian Barley.
I got to adapt my game, too, so it's understandable.
Do you?
I do.
I think you're doing great for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you happen to see the thing I commented on Instagram from a show I did filling in for Kenny in 2021?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I said that the Kings and the Supersonics were going to play on Christmas Day 2024.
Oh.
So I'm going to miss. We tried, though.
No, it's a good try.
You looked very different. Your hair is very different.
Is it?
Yeah, I was shook.
Oh.
Yeah.
2021.
Yeah, it's much shorter.
A little shorter.
The fade was
like
a little higher up.
Yeah. Fade higher. Yeah, probably didn't have the spray to fill in the hairline. So, yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
I look at some of those old pictures like, oh, man.
I still think
the
you look
glow up
clean,
is
man.
Real. The glow up is real. I saw you open a stuffed caterpillar. That's fun stuff.
Yeah, man. That's good. Shout out to Fun Delivered on 106.5 The End.
It's very good. The stuffed little caterpillar with headphones.
Yeah, its name is Kevin.
I caught that. Yeah. It's very, mm-hmm. very nice.
It's yeah, thanks, man.
Nice little tribute to
is
our
that
guy,
on Instagram
Kevin.
Now?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. I can't wait to
text
share
the word fun to 916-909-1065 and yeah, they have all sorts of cool things that we don't have.
Can I?
It's true.
When I we can talk about it later. Nobody cares.
facts.
I don't. Do we don't? No, we don't. We don't have time. Kawhi Leonard is out for the rest of the preseason. We got to go in like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I was going to do top five teams in the NFL, but I want to push that to tomorrow. I want to make that a deeper discussion.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard out for the rest of the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Are you as out on the Clippers as James and I are? Is there like a maybe pushing for the back end of the play-in?
Yeah, I think they are. it's hard, like, when you're starting the season wondering what you're going to get from Kawhi. Like, that's tough because I would have, if you told me, like, are you willing to bet on Kawhi and him playing well? Absolutely. Mm. But we're going in now with, like, oh, we don't really know when Kawhi's going to play. Like, and we know how Kawhi Leonard teams are. And I think this is a Kawhi Leonard thing. Like, mm-hmm. we know how they are with injuries. Mm-hmm. So Kawhi might not play till Christmas. And he knows that. And they know that. But we don't. And they're going to do this. No, Kawhi Leonard's out for the preseason. Then it'll be Kawhi Leonard's going to miss the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. Then the second game of the season. Then the third game of the season. And they're probably never going to say Kawhi Leonard is out for the next 6 weeks.
Right.
That's just not the way that they or he have chosen to do things. So knowing, okay, we're already monitoring this injury. He's already missing time. He's obviously very, very aware of that. Like, it's hard to really put much on them.
Yeah, they just don't.
I like Ty Lue. Yeah, I think Ty Lue's a great coach.
Yep.
I don't think the roster is horrible, but if you don't have someone to, if you have a good roster, and you don't have someone to prop it up,
yes,
it's tough. And I feel like Kawhi is the guy who can still prop it up. I don't think he can do it every other game or, you know, two of the four games a week or whatever.
I'm intrigued to see what Harden looks like. Like, can Harden...
I always forget he's on the damn Clippers.
Yeah, but like...
That's 6'6", beard.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, does he come out looking like, you know, he spent the offseason eating cheesesteaks? Or does he come out looking like he's prepared and ready to play a bunch of games and lead a team? And like what we've seen from him in the last couple of years, he's still effective. But he's not the same player. You don't have the same fear of him.
Yeah.
And there's just like a
but
lack of concentration.
But he's still good.
Yeah.
He's a good player,
like,
for sure.
He's still good. And with the ability to, you know, I think Kawhi can be great and the people around him can be great.
Mm-hmm.
Can James Harden have a level of greatness? Mm-hmm. Meaning maybe he wasn't what he was 4 years ago, but he's still a really high level player, and the people around him be good. That I don't know, because I think he can do a lot of assists and rebounds and points, and it have absolutely no bearing whatsoever on whether the team wins or loses.
Yeah.
People like to get on Russell Westbrook's triple double years as if they didn't win a large percentage of the games that he did that.
Staring right mm-hmm. through me as you say that.
Well, staring through a lot of people who like to get their Russell Westbrook jokes off, but they won games that he had triple doubles in. Like,
definitely.
James has had a lot of empty calories over his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I always forget he's on that freaking basketball team.
He's the system.
It's him.
I've heard that.
It's him and Kawhi, and for a lot of this season, it's going to be him when Kawhi doesn't play.
And that'll be good for James, but mm-hmm. will it be good for the Clippers?
Right, is it good for Nick Batum and Terrence Mann and Norman Powell?
Exactly.
As I'm not super sure.
Yeah, I just wonder if he still has it.
I'd give Terrence Mann the keys. Say, let's see what this looks like.
To what?
The Clippers.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Let him drive the boat. See how it goes.
Keys to the boat.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember.
No, it's good. I got it. Thank you. Like, I didn't need it explained. I got it.
James, I'm sorry. We have to go. What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
Well, I've got some things to say about Devonte Adams, the New York Jets, and their stupid-ass quarterback. Trista Crick, Jason Jones. That's great. All I had on a traditional Tuesday.
Can't wait.
And then we'll talk about the game tonight. Of course, Kings in Utah.
Yeah. Can't wait. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James and I will be back tomorrow. We'll be sponsored by Jiffy Lube again tomorrow. And until then, drink water. Be nice, people. Boop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.